Hello and welcome to Salesforce Architecture Talk with Gaurav and Satya. This is the place for all architects, consultants, and developers in the Salesforce ecosystem.
All right. Well, welcome everybody. We are back. This is episode 3. We have been lagging a little bit. We were planning to do this episode a little bit earlier, but here we are. Today we are going to deep dive into the topic is CTA prep strategies, where we will walk you through exact preparation, what it really takes to be a CTA, you know. We'll give you a lot of tips, tricks, a pathway around your preparation. We'll give Dell from our experience about how we went about our preparation as well. Hopefully, by the end of this episode, you would know exactly what to do if you are embarking on this journey for your own CTA. Okay? All right. So, you all should know me by now, but if you don't, I'm Satya. I worked as a lead Salesforce architect at Google. That's why the t-shirt. I've been working in this Salesforce ecosystem for quite some time now. I'm a CTA myself, along with my good friend Gaurav. I've been working in this ecosystem for almost 10 plus years now.
Awesome. That's great, Satya. Hello, everyone. My name is Gaurav. I'm also a Salesforce CTA. I'm architect leader in the Salesforce ecosystem. And like Satya, I have also been in the Salesforce ecosystem for a long time now, I think 7+ years. Looking forward to share all what we have learned throughout the journey on the CTA and talk you through and take you through the journey which we have been through. Awesome. Let's deep dive straight away. So what we're going to cover today, I think it's overview of what exactly CTA review board is. We're going to cover that. And once we know the exam format and everything, then it's very important to understand why of this particular exam, because without the why of the exam, the motivation, the dedication, the effort which is required to get through this particular journey is not going to happen without right advice. So that's we'll have a few minutes conversation around that. So there are different preparation strategies, understanding the exam format, understanding the anti-patterns, as in what exactly can go wrong, where and how you need to take care of what particular bits. And then in the end, we'll cover up the session with some final thoughts, some more goodies in the end. All right. So that's agenda. Now let's talk about what is CTA. So I think CTA is definitely an acronym for Certified Technical Architect Exam. So it's the exam of where candidates are really got to prove the breadth and the depth of the knowledge of Salesforce platform. And of course, now it's not just Salesforce platform, right? It's understanding the product ecosystem, understanding what particular product works in what particular use case. It's a quite a rigorous exam where a candidate has to prepare for years and then eventually get in front of judges to really talk about what they know. And it's a journey. It's a long journey, as you can see on the slide. It's a pyramid which Salesforce has created. You got to touch all those bits, all those domains to really get on the track and then eventually reach the peak of the pyramid, right? And then once you have gone through the application architect and system architect, we'll talk about the whole journey itself, but eventually you will be able to sit in the exam evaluation board where you will understand, okay, it's a mini board, mini scenario, and then you will prove your knowledge. And once you have done that, then you get through the final exam. So if you want to learn more about this particular exam, of course, there is a link. Go to thetrailhead.com in the certifications, and you will get a glimpse of what this exam is all about.
And I feel this is more of a philosophical question as well, right? What is a CTA? When you say you are a Salesforce CTA, it really means that you are part of this really, really elite group of people, right, in the world who are the most expert people on the Salesforce platform. I can very confidently say that once you are a CTA, you, in any room that you walk in, be it a customer meeting, be it your internal meeting, there's no one more expert than yourself, a Salesforce expert than yourself, if once you have your CTO, right? So that's a tremendous feeling.
Correct.
I'll give you a tidbit as well, right? For people who are listening. There are less number of CTAs in the world than there are astronauts. Okay? Now, just for a moment, imagine that. Like there is such a small number of CTAs in this world that, you know, it should give you a lot of motivation to become one, right? So, and today we are going to talk through about how you can become a CTA as well.
Exactly right. Exactly. It's very elite club, which we call it. And once you be part of that club, it's a different feeling altogether. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the journey. So as we touched, it's a pyramid, which every candidate has to basically get through. And Salesforce has done fantastic jobs, as in the whole architect team, where they have defined path for the candidates to get through. When we were on this particular track a few years back, we actually found out there is a sequence in which every candidate should attempt this particular certification, because once you follow that sequence, it's kind of building the foundation, then building knowledge on top of that particular track. So hence, we will cover on how you should really attempt these particular domains. So maybe let's get started with the first one, which is application architecture, which talks about, I think, knowing the platform to some extent, where you learn about the configuration, where configuration works and where configuration doesn't work, what exactly scenario will fit in from configuration perspective. And when we say application architecture, it is not just knowing admin certification, right? Or knowing app builder certification. It's understanding Sales Cloud, understanding Service Cloud, understanding what type of scenario will need Sales Cloud license, or when you will need Service Cloud license, because in the board, in this scenario itself, you will have one particular edge case coming in, which will change your license from, let's say, Sales Cloud to Service Cloud. So understanding when, which license will be required, which particular capability is going to trigger the need of the Service Cloud, that's very important. So the building that foundation as app builder and knowing these two clouds is must have. That's why it's very first domain which everyone should focus on. And then there is security architecture. So you know about the configuration now as building that foundation. Next bit is how you can secure the access of different functionalities, different capabilities, which platform offers, as in what are the configuration-based sharing mechanism, what are the programmatic ways of sharing mechanism. There are so many implicit or so many different ways which where we can share those particular records. If you talk about account, contact, opportunity, this sharing model is so convoluted. You need to understand, oh, do I really need to do that custom sharing model, or platform will do the magic for me? So understanding all that is very important. So that's where sharing architecture comes in.
Yeah, so, and I personally feel that the sharing and visibility architecture for Salesforce is probably the most misunderstood part of the platform.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like when I was a program architect, or even today, I get these questions of what is the difference between a role and a profile? Like such a common question, such a simple question. But trust me, people working on the platform can't really answer the actual difference of what is role versus profile, versus where you would use, as you said, Gaurav, programmatic versus implicit sharing. You know, there are a lot of implicit sharing behaviors that are not very, very widely known.
Correct.
So very important domain.
Very important. So I think now with this particular two domains, you get the basics of the platform. Next is platform development, which is more of a platform developer one, or we call it apex domain, which is where as a candidate, you need to know what are their development capabilities on the platform, when apex or flow or batch apex or call out, how to do bulkified implementation, where you don't actually fall into the limits which Salesforce platform actually applies on different layers, right? So understanding when and how that particular development model has to fit in. So that's where that this particular domain is very important. And in every scenario, in every CTA scenario, there will be some flavors in terms of you got to touch those development scenarios, right? As in, without any integration or without any complex processing on the platform, Salesforce implementation is just a simple CRM, right? And not every customer will invest so much into just a simple CRM. There will be integration, there will be heavy automation. So understanding all the development capabilities is gonna be super, super important. Yeah, now let's talk about integration. So
I think integration, right? Like Salesforce, any Salesforce implementation is not a siloed implementation, as you're saying, Gaurav, right? It is always part of a technology landscape that you yourself or if you are a customer and you are implementing Salesforce, is part of a solution. That means you cannot have a Salesforce implementation in an isolation somewhere, right? It is always integrated as part of your business process. Now, we all know that Salesforce has very strong integration capabilities, but there are so many options when it comes to integration. I think making the right integration choices in your implementation is super, super critical. So this domain particularly talks about that. What are some of the integration mechanisms? And then which one, which particular pattern, which particular mechanism is suitable for a particular scenario, whether it's a CTA scenario, whether it's your customer scenario, doesn't matter, right? All these domains are preparing you to be better Salesforce architects, right? Correct. Forget about CTA for a second.
Correct.
Even if you just go through these domain certifications, you are just becoming better Salesforce architects, and you're becoming experts in those individual domains, right?
Correct.
What is the next domain? I think that's identity.
Correct.
Ooh, this is a tough one. This is a tough one for most of us. It was a tough one for me, because in usual day-to-day life, you don't get to work on identity solutions, right? Identity is how you manage authentication, how you manage authorization, how you manage it for real users versus system users. So there are and Salesforce can act as an identity system itself, right? Not many people know that. Like Salesforce can just be implemented as an IDP. So it has identity baked into the system, into the architecture itself, right? So OpenID Connect, SAML, all the modern identity mechanisms are supported. For you, from a CTA perspective, you got to know what these are, how, and you almost need to get into the detail of what does a SP initiated flow versus an IDP initiated flow is. What is the difference? What are the different OAuth mechanisms? What's the difference between OAuth and OpenID Connect? You know, so all of this you need to get really deep into that, into those concepts.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely right. And I think identity is very specific domain, which not every architect on projects they will get a chance to work on, right? And not every customer will have sometimes those complex custom identity patterns also. So it's a domain where you need to technically just get on with your DevOps, play with all the setups, exactly follow through the URLs, understand how the navigation is happening, and just connect the dots. I think there is very good material in the ecosystem which is available, and then understanding and then practicing is the way to go for this one. Next is data.
Wow, this is my favorite topic, data architecture. I mean, if you look at these certain domains, they're not specific to Salesforce, right? Some of them, like security, is very specific to Salesforce. I would say data, it is such a big domain, right? There is data can mean a lot of things. There are certain things, however, very peculiar to the Salesforce platform in terms of how do you do large data management on the platform, right? Mm-hmm. You can have a Salesforce instance with hundreds of millions of records, but then there are particular data especially large data mechanisms that you need to incorporate in your so that your performance is not degraded. Right. It also covers data migration. Again, you are, as part of your Salesforce implementation, either you are sunsetting a system and moving into Salesforce, you know, or you're integrating, right? So there is always going to be data migration from one system to another. Mm-hmm. There's going to be data movement, right? You will have your source of truth somewhere else. You will need to integrate with some other system. So how do you maintain data integrity when you are doing those integrations? So data potentially is one domain that actually kind of horizontally cuts across a lot of other domains.
Correct.
We cannot just talk about data in isolation, right? You need to talk about data from a security context. You need to talk about data from identity as well. So data architecture is probably, I feel, is one of the topics that a lot of candidates struggle.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if we don't forget, last year we actually presented about data architecture in the context of all domains, right? At Odeseva Innovation Forum. So if you get a chance, definitely go and check out that particular recording. We do have that recording on the website, but we will cover this domain again in our series. So, but this is one of the most important design assert and the domain. What's next? Communities. Quickly, let's jump in.
Yeah, communities. Okay, communities is obviously Experience Cloud now. I think there are certain things very, very specific to communities, especially the licensing model. There are very subtle differences around, you know, high volume portal versus portals that require some advanced sharing. So there are licensing differences and there are sharing differences. I would say it's relatively one of the easier certifications or domain, but as long as you know what the subtle
Correct.
Differences are.
Correct.
So definitely deep dive on those. There will be a community implementation as part of your CTA scenario. So understand what is the difference between a customer community plus and partner community. A lot of people miss that. Customer community and customer community plus, the major difference is sharing, but how and customer community is a high volume license. Mm. So how do users get access to the data, right? Like it's very, very specific. So get into the details of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the type of community or the license of the community will drive what you can access from read and write perspective and what you can't. Yesterday, Satya, I was catching up with one of the topic which Mustafa has posted on LinkedIn that talks about product sharing on community for internal or external users. That was awesome topic. It talks about for internal user, for this type of community license, you can access, read and write So understanding which particular object will have what type of access requirements, that will drive your licensing requirements in the end. So very important topic, and definitely so it's kind of a must have in this scenario. So understanding that is super, super critical. Last one, dev life cycle.
Well, this is a big topic, right? This is about how do you deliver projects? What is the most effective way to deliver something on the Salesforce platform? What methodology do you use? Agile, waterfall? Because, I mean, agile is the buzzword these days, but can you really do agile when you have a strict timeline? Probably not, right? So usually what ends up happening is you think you're doing agile, but you're actually doing a hybrid kind of methodology, right?
Correct.
So you have to be very careful when you talk about methodology. Governance is also part of this domain where, you know, when you have a big implementation and if you have teams spread across multiple different geos, how do you deliver complex implementation that requires you to work with multiple different teams, right? You know, if you're doing a sales, service, community, all three implementations, plus data, plus backend system, plus integrations, there are at least 6 or 7 teams you need to coordinate, work together. How do you do that? What is your branching strategy? What is your, what does your code? Environment strategy, right? So it is super critical. So it's a big topic, big domain, very, very important.
Exactly right. And Satya, I think we have shared it earlier as well. I think it's these are the 8 domains we will cover individually in each episode very soon. So this episode is focusing on overall strategy, but after this, we'll do deep dive into all of these 8 domains individually and take you through the journey on what exactly you need to know in each domain. So, yeah, keep watching, keep following, and like and share, as you say, Satya.
Yeah. I can't wait to deep dive into each of these, right? Like, we should definitely get better at doing it more frequently. But I can't wait to deep dive into it because there's so much to unpack, right?
Exactly. Awesome. So, exam of why. What's going on here?
Yeah. Well. I think this is a very important thing. Like, you know, every CTA candidate who might be listening to this, I think you gotta feel good about yourself because you are the Neo of this story, of this movie, right? If the movie is called Your CTA Journey, you are the Neo, which kind of is good because you get to play the most coolest character ever created, right? But I think the Morpheus, right? The Morpheus could be anybody. It could be a coach, it could be a mentor, it could be us, who's trying to tell you that this exam is about answering your whys, right? And there are multiple whys that you need to answer really when you're going through this journey or you're about to start your journey or even when you are in the journey. Even on the board, there are a lot of whys you need to answer, right?
Correct.
And in the next slide, we will talk about what those whys are.
Awesome.
All right. So on the left that you see is a meme really, right? And this is going to happen to you in your journey. Okay. What I say to people who ask me, should I do CTA? Is it worth it or not? I always say it's always worth it, definitely, because you're achieving something that is very, very hard. Every CTA you meet, and if you ask them this question, was it hard? They're going to say it's one of the hardest things they had to do in their life. So it's hard.
Yeah.
Let's all accept that it's going to be hard. But then you are not. When you're preparing for CTA, you're not never going to be alone in this journey. That's why there's a V in this, right? So the V is you. Mm-hmm. If you have a family and your wife's also on that journey, if you have kids, your kids are also on that journey.
Correct.
Okay. So you have to, this is, if you are going on a CTA journey, your family is also going on that CTA journey. Okay. And life will happen to you. I will guarantee you one thing, that something will happen to you during your CTA journey. Whether there could be a project emergency, there could be a personal emergency, you might lose motivation.
Yeah.
Personally, I'll tell you, when I was preparing, I lost motivation at a point in time. Mm. And one of my good friends, Francesco, Gaurav, they had to bring me back on track to actually, appear the board, right?
Yeah.
So it's very important. So you lose that motivation. And knowing your why, your motivation on why you're doing this exam is super, super, super critical because believe it or not, you will question that during your journey at some point in time. Why are we doing this? Why are we going through this, right?
Exactly.
Most important why of this exam, right?
Yeah.
So it's more of a philosophical angle there. But also the exam itself is a series of whys, mm-hmm. right? Every decision. So if there is a CTA scenario, and if you give it to Gaurav and me, and if you ask us to solve, we might come up with completely different approaches to solve it, right?
Mm.
It is very rare that two CTAs would come up with exactly same scenario
solution,
to that scenario,
yeah.
To the solution, right? And both can pass the board with their approach. You know why that is possible? Because the judges are not looking for a specific answer. They are actually looking at why did you make a decision like that? Why did you decide a multi-org strategy versus a single-org strategy? Even if it may be borderline, right? Even if they may think that it's a multi-org strategy, but if you are able to defend your single-org strategy, you are golden. You are still Correct. Be able to go through it. And there are a series of things that you have to answer in each and every domain that we saw, right? Like when you're preparing the system landscape, you will have an ESB or an ETL. You need to tell them why you need
Correct.
It, right? You know, what are the specific requirements in the scenario that requires you to have an ETL? Yeah. Integration patterns is important, right? You know, we talked about integration is key to CTA scenario, but then there are a lot of integration patterns, request, reply, fire, and forget. Why? Why are you suggesting a integration pattern? And then mechanism, why are you saying a platform event or outbound, not that you recommend outbound message, but if you do, that's not wrong, right? As long as you're able to justify it.
Yeah.
Similarly, methodology, how are you willing to deliver this project? And this is true with your real projects as well, right? When you're on a project, you have to make this design choice. Right? It's never black or white, right? It's never like this is the right choice versus that's the wrong choice. Yeah. It's always because of these reasons, I'm going with this decision, this design decision, this architecture decision. And that is the crux of this exam.
Yeah, very well said, Satya. I think that's very important. And this is, again, not a prescribed list of things from why perspective you need to know. There are hundreds of other things. But again, these are the important things from attempting the exam versus during the exam, which you need to know. So very, very, very important. Let's jump in the exam format now. Let's see how one particular path for a candidate will look like when they are on the journey. We talked about the pyramid. Again, pyramid is one step in the journey, right? There are way many things happens around that particular journey. So then if you look at this particular path, this is effectively every CTA will go through their journey, as in they will jump in into the five core certifications. Admin, advanced admin, platform app builder, sales, service. So these are the five foundation certifications which every candidate definitely should have. I would say advanced admin is kind of optional, but still knowing admin and app builder, understanding the configuration is very important. So once the foundation is right, then you start jumping on the architect track, which is the pyramid we talked about, which is where you touch all those designer certifications, achieve your application architect certification, and then system architect certification. Now that actually takes time. If you see, you spend maybe core certification, some candidates may finish in 5 days. We have seen that internally in Salesforce, where candidates just jump back to back five certs, or 5 weeks, or 5 months, or 1 year. And then a architect track itself might take, let's say, I don't know, sometime candidates might finish in 6 weeks versus 6 months versus 12 months. So the timing around finishing that while is going to be long. Once you have done the pyramid, that doesn't mean you are ready to sit in the exam, right? So if you see, there's a big step between finishing the design certs and then hitting the CTA review board. And that starts with finding a coach. Finding a coach means you basically find a reliable person, a mentor, a friend who will actually take you on the journey, who has done this in past, who will be able to give you helping hand whenever you are struggling, give you a direction in terms of how you really approach one particular solution, one particular requirement, and guide you in terms of what it's required to get on, right? So then you start working on your scenario preparation. The scenarios, there are a number of scenarios now available publicly. There are small scenarios, short scenarios, there are long scenarios, there are community scenarios. So you start preparing, first of all, for the scenarios. Getting ready for the scenarios is very important. As you can see, you might have spent maybe 2 years to reach at the point where you are starting the scenario, right? So you got to recollect everything. You got to get through the notes. You get to get through the whole overall revision. And then you start thinking, okay, if a scenario is given to me for 2 hours or 3 hours based on short or long scenario, this is exactly what I'm going to do. These are the slides. These are the steps. These are the things I have to do. So then you start picking up a scenario, start going through the attempt with the coach, where you learn, miss, fail. Like we used to do every Friday, we used to attempt a scenario. Then Friday evening, we used to be devastated that, okay, I am not going to clear the exam because I couldn't finish this short scenario in this such time, right? And then Saturday, we get back again. And we used to get back. And then we used to again finish the scenario, reattempt with each other. And then Sunday we used to revise, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, again, repeat, and Friday attempt another one. So it takes a lot of effort to really perfect this particular model, and you attempt those particular scenarios. And then once you have done the scenarios, you feel confident that, yes, I am possibly 3 months, 6 months away from the board. Then you try to book your board evaluation, which is a mini CTA scenario. We'll talk about the exam format from timing perspective, but it's a mini CTA scenario where one particular CTA from Salesforce will evaluate you as a candidate. And if you pass, you get a date, which can be 2 months, 3 months, 6 months ahead of you. And then you will need to get ready and prepare for that particular date. And then eventually you get sit in the exam. If you're lucky enough, finish the exam in one go and then get going. So, yeah, and once you get the CTA, you actually start looking at helping others become a coach and become co-coach. Someone actually coaching, you try to coach as well. So try to help other candidates. Yeah,
I think a very key important takeaway here is I see a lot of candidates who would have gone through the designer certs, right? Like 6 months ago, and now they're after 6 months, because it takes a toll. Like getting through the designer certs itself is quite time consuming. You need to take time out from your daily schedule and prepare for that cert. And then after 6 months later, they want to also now start for CTA, right? Just getting those application and system architect certifications does not make you ready for a CTA. I think the pyramid, the gap between the top triangle, which is the CTA, and the application and system, it's almost like this, right? Which is what you have mentioned here is about could be anywhere between 6 to 12 months. It's your journey, right? You would have finished your designer certifications last year. Now you need to recollect all of it. Get in the mindset that are you able to tie all of that knowledge together so that you can solve a CTA scenario in the time that's given to you, right? So that 6 to 12 months is your journey. You need to understand how long you need based on your commitments, your time preferences. There are a lot of things that can happen. So plan accordingly, right? This is going to be one of the big things that you will ever do in life. So having a plan always helps. Not everything is going to go according to plan, but at least having it at the get-go is definitely going to help you better.
Awesome.
One question. So another question that gets asked, Gaurav, how do candidates go about finding a coach?
I think finding a coach is all about finding a friend. It's about really reaching out in the network, reaching out in the community, and then finding someone who you can trust and someone who can trust in you. It's a commitment for coaching itself is a huge commitment, not only for the candidates but also for the coaching as well, right? So you tap into your network, reach out to all other CTAs who have gone through this particular path. And then it's a commitment for a few months and maybe 6 months, maybe 3 months, maybe 12 months. So you basically go and tap into your network. What's your thoughts up there?
Yeah, that's a very good point, right? Like there are so many CTAs now, they're willing to give back, right? So there are a lot of active forums where many CTAs come together and they do mocks. So tap into those. Tap into organizations like Flow Republic. I think they have a coaching program which has been tremendously successful. So tap into that. Reach out to Sebastian. He is great. So there are multiple resources there. I think your own preparedness for the CTA is also, again, key, going back to the same, your why. You know, you are the Neo of this story, so you have to lead. You have to make sure that you are motivated enough. You have a plan in place, and then going out, reaching out to people with your plan will definitely help you find a coach. And there are a lot of people in the community willing to help.
Correct. Correct. And I think similarly, there is four CTAs from different partners. They have started Gang of Four. I think that's another platform to tap into the people community. I think just find the right person who is in your region from time zone perspective, who can help you and take you on the journey.
Yeah, and subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah, subscribe to the podcast. Understand what exactly you need and definitely understand.
Yeah. Engage with us. We are happy to help you wherever we can. This is one of the reasons why we started this podcast, is so that we can democratize some of this information. People are it's out there. Now it's up to you whether how do you consume it, right?
Definitely.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about format now. We touched a little bit on the board evaluation. We said it's a mini CTA scenario. So compared to the full board, this is a shorter exam. Where you get 1 hour of preparation, maybe in the full scenario, you'll get 8 pages, 10 pages kind of a scenario, full blown, every section. In this particular format, you will get a very small scenario, could be 2 pages, could be 4 pages, and you will have, instead of 3 hours, you will have 1 hour to prepare. And then from presentation perspective, you will get only 30 minutes compared to 45 minutes. And then instead of being scared of 3 CTAs and judges sitting in front of you, it will be 1 CTA who will be assessing and giving you feedback. And then once you have done the presentation for 30 minutes, it's a 30 minutes of Q&A instead of 40 minutes. So it's a smaller, compact version of the board. And then after this particular evaluation, either you pass or you fail. Options or outcomes, you will get relevant feedback in terms of where you have lagged or where you have done tremendously great, and then eventually you will get the right outcome. So that's the
And this is done by Salesforce.
This is itself, done by Salesforce, the evaluation. Correct. So you got to book it up.
So great way to see. It's like a mock, right? Like a small mock scenario.
So this was introduced in 2021, so, and I think I felt like it's an awesome step towards getting the right people, right prepared people for the board, where you really pass through the evaluation and then you get going.
I think the Trailhead team is doing a tremendous job making sure. Suzanne, in particular, she's doing tremendous job to making this accessible to people, and helping candidates understand the structure and everything.
Correct.
So, I think please do reach out to her if you have any questions. She helps these sessions from time to time to help you educate about this as well. Yeah. So,
And now the review board itself, as you can see, now preparation time you will get 3 hours. Presentation time, you will get 45 minutes. Q&A, you will get 40 minutes. Instead of 1 CTA or a judge, you will see 3 judges where you will need to come up with your full-blown solution for your full-on requirement, around 8 to 10 pages. You've got to think through. You have good enough time to spend with the scenario and then come back with the right solution in that particular time window. And 45 minutes seems like a long time. I think we have spent equal time now while talking, but it's very short time talking about all such a big scenario, and it just vanishes. So you got to really think what you need to cover in 45 minutes and then what you got to cover in 40 minutes in the Q&A.
The fastest 5 hours of your life and the most stressed 5 hours of your life. But it's amazing. You will come out a different person after going through that experience, for sure.
All right, let's go through the preparation strategies now. Now, I think from preparation strategies perspective, very first thing to understand, the format, which we have gone through, and then look at the checklist. Now, these are different aspects of the exam, which the judge will actually look at. That have you done the right solution from system architecture perspective? Have you done the solution from security perspective correctly, where you have factored the right security approach? Have you thought about the data? the data architecture, the LDV, how you're going to, what data lands on Salesforce, into Salesforce, what data is off platform, understanding solution architecture, as in for all the business requirements, how you're going to really solve, and from integration perspective, how you're going to connect, from deployment lifecycle perspective, how you're going to execute the program, because usually this kind of program runs for years, right? And then communication in the end, which is very important, where how you are really passing on the message to three judges who might be, you need to think that you are really presenting to three CIOs or CTOs or directors in the big organization to pass on the message in a crisp and a clear way, and then in such a short time. So understand these checklists. This is available on the community, on the Trailblazer community, and link is in the slide, which we're going to share afterwards.
I think that's an important point, right? The communication aspect. I personally felt when I was preparing that there came a point when I was preparing the domains and getting the technical expertise on the platform, right? But there definitely came a point where it was about how do you take all that you know, because you're so deep into learning and understanding. So you are probably everything about the platform at a point in time. Now the challenge is not knowing. So you know, you are the technical expert. Now the challenge is how do you communicate your expertise in the most crisp manner? Like, and it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of going through the same kind of in your head, writing it down sometimes helps. You know, the communication aspect is critical. To actually some parts of the board, right? So yeah, we'll get into that.
Awesome. Now let's talk about the big day. On the day when you are looking at the preparation time, you get 3 hours. What all things you need to do? As you can see on the right side, there is a simple table which I had when I was preparing for the review board. And 3 hours will just vanish. Hence, you got to really break down those 3 hours. You get 15 minutes of break in between, right? You can decide to take a break after 2 hours, or you can just use 3 hours continuously. So if you intend to take a break, you can break down those 2 hours into major chunk, define what exactly you're going to do in those 3 hours, and then last 1 hour, how you're going to use. You will have some templates, you will have some approaches, you will have some defined slides which you will need to cover, and you will need to practice a lot. You need to practice that, okay, given a scenario, given a chance, you will finish the business processes in 2 hours. In last 1 hour, allocate 5 minutes per slide, and you go to solve and then come up with the slide. My plan was to deliver all this in 160 minutes. But yeah, of course, you get 180 minutes. But of course, when I was actually executing in the board, I didn't have that much time because time vanishes. So you got to practice, because that 5, 8 minutes or 10 minutes allocated for each slide may be shorter. So you got to think about how you're going to use that time, and then deliver at the time of the preparation.
Yeah, having a plan definitely helps. I think using the break is a wise thing, because it kind of gets you. I know it kind of feels weird, like why would you want to take a break of 15 minutes when you can just go on? But I think that 15 minutes gives you extra thinking time, so you can sit and if you have a plan, you can assess yourself against the plan, and then you can say, okay, I only have 16 minutes left, and I have these 5 or 6 things to do. So then you can adjust.
Correct.
A little bit. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Use the break is what. Yeah.
All right. Now let's look at the 45 minutes presentation window. Now, 45 minutes of presentation again for the presentation itself. Now for the slides, you have defined list that, okay, these are the 5, 10, 8 slides you got to come up with. And then you need to really think, okay, how you're going to break down these 45 minutes, in what, how many minutes you're going to cover up, which part of the slide, which particular sequence you're going to follow through. You will have to break down this time. And then we use this app. I think Satya was, you were using other app. I was using this particular app, Full Screen. I used to get the time left, and then going through that, okay, in first 10 minutes you will be, or 15 minutes you will be done by this particular section of the slides. Now 30 minutes you got to finish this much. If you are falling back, you got to speed up and talk through quickly, or quickly maybe part of those particular requirements you can cover later and then jump in the other section. So time management and walking through the slides is going to be very critical. And again, it's limited time, right? And saying only very simple thing, oh, it's Apex trigger, it's validation rule, it's a workflow, that is not enough. If you say that, you are technically digging hole, because judges will come back to it. They will spend those 40 minutes of Q&A on those particular bits, because you got to explain the user story around the data model. You got to explain exactly how those particular touch points actually completes, how what particular automation actually going to help in what part. So you got to say that properly and have a story around your solution.
Yeah, and this time management is super, super critical, because this 45 minutes will zoom through very quickly, right? Even if, say, for example, you miss your time window by a minute or so, you may have not covered your once, like you may skip a section, right? The thing is, if you skip a section, the judges will ask you about that section in the Q&A. And what you could have communicated in a minute or two is now going to take maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes in Q&A, right? So having a proper time strategy for Q&A for the presentation is super critical, because this is something that you can control, right? Nobody's going to interrupt you during your presentation time. So this, the first 3 hours and this 45 minutes is something that you have full control over in this exam. So that's why having a very, very detailed plan and knowing what time, by what milestones you need to finish these things is super critical. The one thing, I didn't use this particular app, Gaurav. I used to use my phone, and I had an app on my phone, and I used to do the timer in reverse. Right. So I used to start at 45 minutes and then say, okay, by 42nd minute, I need to be able to finish my strategies, right, like the first slide. By 40th minute, I should have done my system landscape. So I had time allocation for each of those slides. And in my head, it was always 40th minute system landscape, 35th minute data model, 30th minute you should have finished security. If you create a map in your mind, because that is how that, and this is super critical during your preparation stage. That's why doing mocks is important. You don't want to just go to the board and just wing it. Right? We talk about the anti-patterns later on, but having a proper strategy is super critical.
Awesome, cool. All right, now let's talk about last 40 minutes of the Q&A. So this is basically the Q&A time. Whatever you have prepared in 3 hours, presented in those 45 minutes, you prepared a solution. Now there could be particular sections which you may not have covered, or particular sections where your solution might not be timed properly, or particular sections where you have spent enough time but judges feel like you haven't gone to enough detail, or you came up with completely wrong solution for that particular requirement, and judges will ask, okay, how are you gonna really think? They will help you. This particular section is not testing or not trying to stop you clearing the CTA review board. This section of the board is actually help you to get through, fill in those particular gaps, talk through. You might know everything, but you might not have communicated in those 45 minutes or in the slides. So this section is actually filling the gaps. And so come up with the short and clear answer. We were told you got to answer in 15 seconds. Whatever question is coming, you got to answer in 15 seconds, which never happened. Never happened with me. But still, you got to be concise and clear.
It's hard.
So, and again, if you see, there are going to be 30 to 40 questions, right? Every judge might have 10 questions each or 15 questions each. They might have divided which area security will be one judge, could be integration, could be another, data could be another. And then they will just deep dive and throw questions on you to immediately you are talking security, and next 2 minutes later you're talking integration, or then dev life cycle, and then landscape. You will jump in between those sections, right, in Q&A. And then understand, if you intend to change your solution during Q&A, think twice. If you are really changing and you cannot justify it, if you feel you have done a mistake, no harm in changing. You change it, but immediately assess the impact on what exactly you're changing. Are you changing your multi-org to single-org or single-org to multi-org? Are you changing your licensing strategy? What is the impact on governance? How are you introducing another data mod and data another object, or are you introducing another completely managed package solution? So think about all those aspects and then eventually assess that impact.
Very important point. I think any change, it's okay to change. It's okay to add things during Q&A. But if you just change that bit, for as you said, you change the data model, you change the relationship, like you make a small change in relationship, you change it from lookup to master detail. Is there an impact on security? Is there an impact on integration? If you change your strategy, what is the impact on governance? Very, very key to understand all this. And I think the one point that you said on this slide, it's okay to say you don't know. That is, so I think the Q&A is more of like a mental thing as well, right? Like you need to be like really composed during the Q&A session. It's almost before you go into the Q&A, you almost need to, you know, calm your nerves because you've gone through such a high adrenaline environment. You have done a 45-minute, 3 hour of like, you know, solution solving. You know your solution. You've done like a presentation and you're pumped. When you come into Q&A, you almost need to calm yourself down. Right? And a few things that I would like to tell, right? One thing that I always used to struggle was org strategy. I always used to get my org strategy wrong. And that is the first question that will get asked, right? Your org strategy. And if your org strategy is wrong, for example, then you get drilled on it. And what happens is, if you get drilled on it, you kind of lose, maybe I've made a big mistake, and you can see your motivation going down. But then one of my coaches, Osama, gave me a great analogy. He gave me a cricket analogy. He said, think of every question as a new ball. And at first I didn't understand, but what he meant to say was, now imagine you are a batsman, right? And a bowler comes in and throws a bouncer on you, okay? You cannot be thinking of that bouncer. So if you duck on that bouncer, you cannot be thinking of that bouncer during your next delivery. Because if you do, you will be distracted or you would be expecting something, right? You cannot have that get to you. Like the bouncer is a mental trick that the bowlers use, right? Similarly in CTA, even though the judges are not trying to trick you, if they give you a bouncer and you're not able to answer it, you almost need to immediately move on from it. And think of the new question. Every question is a new ball. The next question is a new ball. It's a completely new start. So you need to be completely mentally composed and able to take every question on its own and answer it in a very, very concise manner and convey what you want to, you know. What you want to convey.
No, definitely. Yeah. I think there are so many tips, so many tricks. We can just keep on talking about all this. But these are very important bits which you definitely need to know as a candidate. Now, let's quickly talk about the anti-patterns.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is very common, right? Everybody going through this, we have been saying that it's hard. What happens is sometimes candidates are lost. They think that, okay, this exam is like a template, you know, system landscape, integration, identity. Don't have templated approach, right? You know, a templated approach, the judges are very smart. They will catch you. They will drill you if they find that you're giving templated answers. Use your own experience, right? That is super critical. Not every CTA has their own style, their own approach, coming up with solution and data model and presentation and telling a story. Use your experience and everything that is asked is in the context of that scenario. Okay, it's never outside of that scenario. Don't give generic answers. Mm-hmm. Always give answers in specific to that scenario. Nothing is templated in this exam. Second, do not copy someone else's strategy. If something has worked for somebody, it doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So I've seen candidates saying, okay, somebody told me this, so that's why I'm doing it. Please don't do it. Personalize your experience. Draw down on your experiences when you're appearing this exam. This is super critical. And then the third one, do not wing it. You cannot wing it. I can tell you, if you go there in the board thinking that you will not, if you don't have enough practice and if you don't understand the question, like in the Q&A, if you try and understand the question, what is the intention behind the question, right? And all of that comes with practice. You cannot wing this exam. So I can tell you one thing for sure.
Definitely. Great tips here. I think very important anti-patterns. Patterns are important, but anti-patterns are equally important not to make these mistakes technically. All right, final thoughts.
Yeah. Yes. So if I have to summarize last 45 to 50 minutes, I guess find a coach. Be patient, be motivated, rely on your own experience, find your own why. Practice. Cannot emphasize enough. Practice will get you a long, long way. So find somebody, find a coach, find a study buddy, do a lot of mock scenarios. And even when, just don't solve a mock scenario once, solve it two times, three times, four times. However many times you feel like you need to solve it. Even though you know the scenario, at least you would be able to practice your answers, right? Those sort of stuff. So, with that, I guess, those are any final thoughts from you, Varun?
Very important points. And I think practice is the most important. Having a strategy, understanding the strategy is one part, but executing on that strategy is important. Like any other business, right? And as in you can have a vision, you can have a strategy, you can have a plan, but it's time to execute that matters. And that's what practice is actually going to give you, where you just need to practice those mock scenarios and get through. So I think with that final thought, are we at near the end of this presentation then?
We have. Let's wrap it up. I hope everybody, you all enjoyed this session. We will deep dive into each of those domains in coming weeks, months. So stay tuned. Like, subscribe, comment, engage with us. We are happy to, if you think that something we are saying is incorrect, let us know. We are happy to engage with you all on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. So thank you for listening and hope this was useful.
Thank you everyone. Hope to see you very soon. Take care. Bye.
So with this amazing conversation, we conclude this episode and thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. We look forward to bringing more exciting and relevant content in the upcoming episodes.